This conference will now be recorded.
I will call to order the meeting of the Planning Commission for Wednesday, June 17th. First item on the agenda is the minutes of the May 6th Planning Commission meeting.
I'll move.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, as this is a virtual meeting, must be a roll call vote. Steve?
Aye.
Cletus? Oh, Cletus has walked away.
Was it for me?
Let me see here. You know, for Christina, for now, without Cletus, we still meet quorum with five. So let's act as if Cletus isn't here, even though his screen seems to be on right now.
Okay. Then Terry?
Aye.
Jerry?
Yes. Aye.
Jeff?
Aye.
And Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is the 2021 CIP review. We'll hand it over to Sarah, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds good. I can start it off. So before us, the one item on our agenda tonight is the 2021 CIP review. For a reminder, the Planning Commission reviews the CIP for the purpose of looking at its alignment with the comprehensive land use plan. And so earlier today, you should have received kind of a version of that where I've highlighted some key policy areas where I think that the CIP aligns with the comprehensive plan. We see a lot of, you know, pretty typical road construction improvements, preservation of existing city buildings or expansions of those. Lots of, you'll see the local option sales tax projects on there. All of that is going to feed into economic development, right, of our area and community development, supporting supporting the area, working on our parks and preserving our parks and expanding those as well. Quite a few items from there. So again, Planning Commission reviews this item to look at its alignment with that comp plan. And then we mentioned it a little bit earlier, but at the end, we're just looking for a consensus. Does it align? Does it not align? And then forwarding that on to City Council. And Dave is here. I don't know, Dave, if you want to add anything more to that explanation at all.
Thanks, Sarah. Yes. Good evening, Planning Commission Chair and members. The City Department directors have prepared the Capital Improvement Program for your review and approval, which is also known as a CIP. The directors submitted their own departmental proposals for needed capital improvements. And then all the directors came together to discuss and rank the entire package of capital improvements and even delete some, sometimes by mutual agreement and other times through a vote when necessary. Each page of the CIP is one of the 5 years. Only the first page, year 2021, was ranked. The following 4 years of pages are essentially projected expenses because each of the following years have to go through the same budget cycle over again, so ranking them is unnecessary. The highest score are the more important improvements, which are at the top of the first page. The very top four NA scores are the local option sales tax projects that Sarah mentioned, which are already slated for implementation. And then the following 33 projects range, again, as Sarah mentioned, range from parking lot improvements to public restrooms, park improvements, and city infrastructure. The cost of each project is listed under one or more of the five funding sources. and they are listed to the right of each of the listed infrastructure or capital improvements. Some highlights include, for instance, like number the top one that's ranked 46, which says street improvement program. That one is projected to be a bonding project of nearly $5.4 million. That one is actually being, I want to say wordsmith, but how about finance smith by Steve Okins. That is still very much up in the air on whether we can actually get that one done. But for comp plan purposes and for city needs, it is a highly needed thing. So the directors ranked it very highly and are hoping that it can be funded through bonding one way or the other. As you know, our streets are in pretty poor condition in some places. Another highlight would be like number 38, the top one of number 38, there's two of them. BLA insulation. BLA is the Blue Line Arena. And that is a general revenue fund, or general revenue funded, and that is $350,000. And then another one I'd like to highlight is the...
Dave, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Does the district help with that at all?
The BLA?
Yeah.
I do not know.
Well, I'm just wondering.
Oh, I don't know. A lot of these have multiple funding sources. They wouldn't be listed on here, except for federal and state aid.
Okay.
But yeah, it's possible. The number 36s, the Swanson Fields, those are park improvements. Rob had listed those as a lump sum of roughly, you know, $750,000, and the directors felt it was better to break them out as three separate projects so that the council could select maybe just one for the year, if the money permits, or two. Otherwise, it was very likely that the Swanson Fields wouldn't happen at all. So I just wanted to highlight some kind of thought process there. And then the very last one, extra patio space, cement work. That is the DOAC, and I wasn't sure if all of you would know what that is. I certainly didn't. It's the Dorothy Olson Aquatic Center. Sometimes the acronyms get a little oversome. So that's it for my presentation. Any questions?
Are we just looking for general discussion at the moment, or how are we going about this?
Yes, I believe now's the time for discussion, questions. Eventually, we could reach a consensus.
I can start. I don't have too much against this. I'm glad to see some Sperryville Park improvements scheduled on this. That's a nice little area of town, and I think it has been until recently a little overlooked. So happy to see that. I did have a couple of questions. What is the downtown streetscape project, Sarah?
Yeah, I can actually speak to that one. The downtown streetscape project is something that we've actually already received grant funding for, but because of the capital improvement project process, it needs to be included in there. So it was actually, it will be funded by the 2019 Small Cities Development Program grant that the city received in the amount of $400,000. And then there's an additional $50,000 in there because we're hoping that the plan is that this year we will go ahead and, we will go ahead and work with a contractor such as like Bolton and Mink to do some landscape architecture and be a little bit more specific about, you know, what color of sidewalks are we thinking and how does green space fit into that and what does that all look like? And then we'll use the $400,000 that we were awarded towards that. So most of the $400,000 will be used towards sidewalk improvements that are needed, especially for ADA compliance downtown.
Outstanding. That's what kind of what I thought it was, but I was pretty sure you knew all about that. I'm looking at for both 21 and 22, the amounts, the just under 6.4 million for street improvements, and I think the number for 2022 is like 5 million. Is that more than what we typically do in the course of a standard year? Are we getting, are they looking for funding, additional funding for streets in these next 2 years?
Sarah, do you mind if I speak to that?
Yeah, I don't have information on that off the top of my head.
Steve, Commission Member Gardner.
Steve is good.
That is, that is absolutely true. There was a survey done of the streets by Sean and the engineering team, and there are a lot of streets that are in deplorable condition, and so they have ramped up spending and engineering work to get those improved. I think, you know, I think Sarah can speak to it, and her own neighborhood has a notorious street right behind the McDonald's that is really, really nasty. So the answer is yes, and I mentioned in my little presentation that that 5.4 or 5.3 million that is to be bonded is actually an optimistic number, or it probably will get cut back. But the process is that it goes to Steve. Steve kind of does his financial magic to it, then it goes in front of the mayor, and then finally to the council. And so that number may indeed change as the realities of what they can actually get materialize.
Well, I'm going to get on my soapbox for just a second. I think those numbers are absolutely necessary. You're absolutely right that it's gone on for too long that these streets have been underfunded and allowed to deteriorate. If we're not going to take care of the infrastructure that we have now, there's no point in having new infrastructure, new subdivisions, and that type of thing, and just expanding our outgo there. Need to be able to have decent streets. That's just all there is to that. I'm wondering about two items: the Trishaw bike for Parks and Rec, and the Dorothy Olson project. I assume on the latter that that was prior to the repairs that they're having to do right now coming up. But they put this request in, and I see it's ranked might be the lowest ranked of everything there.
Right, it's only about $12,000, and the DOAC is only $25,000. You know, I am not familiar with Rob's Park and Rec projects. Mm-hmm. I think you're correct, but I can't really speak to it with authority. So,
sure. I'm just wondering if because that looks like that's an extra patio space, and I'm just wondering if those aren't dollars better put towards maintaining what they already have. That would be my comment. And otherwise, that's all I have. Thank you.
Question.
Go ahead, Jeff.
The sales tax bond.
Something's wrong with your mic, Jeff.
We lost you, Jeff.
Oh, am I there now?
Barely.
Just barely.
Yeah. You were okay when you started.
The sales tax bond money incoming money is lagging. Will that those projects just get pushed back as funds become available early into specific years?
If I heard you correctly, you're wondering if those projects keep getting pushed back because of the sales tax funding that's coming in?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, you're absolutely right. And sales tax funding or sales tax revenues are projected to be very low this year. And so in all likelihood, they will likely really occur in the following year or so. I mean, some parts of them may occur right away, but they're still trying to sort out exactly how much funds they have coming in to support those projects. Does that answer your question, Jeff?
Yes.
Okay.
To follow up on that, if I may. So if anything, I see that the fourth item there is the stormwater part of that, the ponds at Garfield, and I don't know what Molly is, but I should think that that they need to want to be prioritizing anything stormwater at this point in time.
Which number is that, Steve?
It's the fourth item down. It has an NA score.
Oh, gotcha. I agree. I'm just noting these things down so I can pass them along.
I have a question with the items, and there's several on the City Hall improvements. What was the thinking behind that, knowing while it's being, I know there's kerfuffle on where's the City Hall projects at, but it is still somewhat in the works. Do you expand on all that and why we still need to do the work in 2021 in City Hall?
Sure. Commission Chair, the reason why that was in there was actually from the very beginning of the meeting is that the I don't know what to call them, but the board of directors decided that for prudence, that they needed to continue to include money for the existing City Hall, since the development is still relatively speculative in the sense that we need to have the architectural drawings, we need to have the engineering done, and there's a lot of pieces, a lot of unknowns that still have not fallen together yet. So for safety reasons, we need to assume that City Hall, the existing City Hall, is going to remain in place and functional for staff for the whole year.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, this gets put in front of the mayor and explained again, and it's ultimately his call. But I would think that they would back that, and then whatever funds don't get applied will go back into the general fund.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions or concerns from the commission? Seeing none. I would entertain a motion at this time. Leave Jeff the motion to recommend to council. Is that right, Jeff?
Yes.
Okay. Made, Terry seconds. Okay. Any further discussion?
Just a yes, quick, please. Just a quick question. I assume that the council will hear our concerns questions on this. It's not up to us to line anything out or anything like that, but if we think they should rethink something else in this, that's what they're going to hear. Yes.
They will have your minutes that Sarah will draft, and then I have a couple of notes here about the Parks and Rec Trisha bike, of whether it's new or maintenance, that you strongly agree with the high figure for the street improvement programs, that the stormwater should be a priority in the lost funding, low option, the sales tax funding. And those will be included in the minutes. And I will personally send an email to Steve on those.
And I think the other thing that I mentioned was the cement work out at Dorothy Olson Aquatic Center. I should think that they need those funds for maintaining what they already have.
So you'd see that preferred as maintenance as opposed to new? Well,
to me, extra patio space is just that's something nice to have. My guess is that money is probably going to end up needing to be for keeping up what they already have.
Gotcha. And that's that may be the case, but I'll check. Point. Gotcha.
Sure. Thank you.
That would be my observation too, Steve.
Any further discussion? Okay, I believe we're ready to vote. This is another roll call vote. Terry.
Aye.
Jerry.
Aye.
Jeff.
Aye.
Steve.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I lost my agenda. Where'd it go? Next would be any miscellaneous.
That does it for our meeting today. I took the tiny home project discussion off of today's agenda just for sake, because you guys didn't get a bunch of information when I wanted you to get it. So I would anticipate that going before you in 2 weeks at our first July meeting. We should have time to get everything together and disseminated to you so that you have adequate time. What we'll be reviewing is, we feel that, so there's been a change in the Minnesota building code that allows for the building of tiny homes. Is it under 400 square feet or something like that? But the building code addresses tiny homes as a completely separate project. And we feel that different cities in Minnesota handle it different ways. But we think that with that capability, we've already had some inquiry about a tiny home development. And we feel that it would be best for the Planning Commission to discuss that item and consider if they would want to draft a formal standards in the ordinance, a section of standards in the ordinance to address tiny homes in regards to land use and standards and all of that kind of stuff. So we're working on compiling examples across Minnesota. There's not really one set rhyme or reason or way that cities handle that. And so it will be an interesting discussion to have.
A quick question on that, Sarah. Two things. That's you're talking about something called Appendix Q. And that's in the latest version, I think 2018 of the IRC. Who actually approves that as part of the code locally?
So there's a state building code, and so the state level adopted the 2018 IRC just in March. And so that's how it then becomes a part of the Minnesota State Building Code. And then council I don't know if it's in charter or quite where it is, but we follow the state's IRC building code recommendations, and so, yeah.
Yeah, basically, a lot of states do it differently, but they all kind of follow the same process. Some they typically bring in experts from their own field within the state. They go through a vetting process of this published booklet, which is from the International Code Council. They will do amendments to it, which delete or amend a statement or insert statements. And they go through this very lengthy process. And then the amendment book to the draft, the published book, the amended book with the published book become the state code. Minnesota does it slightly differently in that they actually rewrite the entire code themselves. So, and they have a huge, huge team of people that do this. But they do the same process. They do bring a panel of experts together that ultimately goes to the state legislature. And then all of the local jurisdictions are required by law to adopt the state building code. They cannot adopt any other building code.
Okay. And clarification on tiny homes, we're talking about specifically only tiny homes on foundations, yes? Sarah?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know people, when they hear tiny homes, they freak out a little bit and they're a little afraid that somebody's going to park a trailer in grandma's front yard. So,
Sarah, did you want to talk about the comp plan? You know, some.
Oh yeah, I could give an update on that. That's a good idea. So we are continuing to work with Mid Minnesota. They've had a couple staff changes in their executive director and their planning director. We're very excited. We've had a couple meetings with them so far, and they've already made a ton of progress being as new as they are. So we continue to be in phase one of our data collection. And then we would anticipate, I'm going to start gearing up to prepare some documents and things for the creation of a comp plan task force come like early fall. So I'm thinking like we're thinking end of August, early September, when we actually would set that group, and then that group would probably start meeting like end of September, beginning of October, and we would move into that initial comp plan task force phase two, which will also then kind of meld into the public input and that whole side of the comp plan phase come this fall. So we're steadily moving forward and excited to keep working on that project. I think it'll be a really great end result. So.
Yeah, Mid-Minnesota's staff change actually worked to our benefit. The new staff are tigers, and they're diving right into this. And they're doing some very difficult data mining work of contacting all kinds of people. They're kind of wondering, well, why are you calling me? What do you want this information for? And they're really digging, and they're real mavericks about it. So it's been real, real good. So
outstanding.
Yeah, excellent. Right. If there's nothing else, then I would adjourn. Steve moves to adjourn. Is there a second?
Can I ask? Could I ask you to get an update on a project from Sarah? Am I speaking again?
Yeah. Yeah, you're good.
Sarah, the 472 unit apartments up on County Road 5.
Yeah.
I've got good friends that are neighbors to that project. What's the status on that? Originally, as I remember, it was supposed to be one built each year. Is that waiting on a sewer line and stuff too?
They're working on the sewer. We're hoping is in this year for that first building, because they do have, they're already filling up their first building with tenants, and so we're trying to organize to get that all set. It has been bid and awarded, I believe, for that sewer project that was a part of that. But yes, one building each year, and our building official is currently reviewing the second building. They're just sending in one set of plans per building when it when it becomes time. So we're working on approvals of the second building construction, which should still happen yet this year as well. And the first one is working on finishing up.
Okay, so hopefully by fall, there might be some people moving in that first one. Sounds like. So, okay, thank you.
Yes.
I still move to adjourn.
Okay, motion made to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Yeah.
Second made. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you all.
Thanks for your-